Hey, Channel Insiders. Welcome back to another episode of Channel Insider Partner POV, your source for untapped opportunities and unfiltered opinions in the IT channel, all to help you make better business decisions. I'm your host, Katie Bavoso. My guest today is Ken Phelan, CTO of Gotham Technology Group. Ken is a founding member of the company, which started in 2001. And for my Dark Knight fans out there, yes, Ken is the hero that Gotham deserves. Ken and I spoke about a variety of topics today, including how he prepares his customers and their IT environments for the future, even during uncertain economic times, as well as what catches Ken's attention when he's approached by a prospective vendor partner. Do you want to be Batman, and do you want me to be Robin, or can I be Batman for this particular interview?
I'm not going to admit to being Batman, but I will say that he and I are never in the same room at the same time. So
Right. Nobody knows. So tell me about Gotham, and tell me how long have you been in business, and talk to me a little bit about what you do for your customers.
Sure. So we formed Gotham in 2001, and I started it with four other gentlemen who I'd worked with previously. So we had a good, heritage going into this. We started the company kind of knowing what we wanted to do. We started in New York just like approximately 2 weeks before 9/11. So we started sort of in a tough period bringing the company along, but because of our heritage in that space, having another company before that, we grew the company organically. And I think that's been part of the process, right? As individual owners, we wanted to make sensible decisions for our customers, for our employees, and grow the company in a way that, sort of serve those constituencies, right? I think this business is about, it's about relationships, but it's also just about value, right? It's about going into your customer site and creating customer success and making sure that they're okay as companies and as people. So I think that's really at our core.
And tell me about your customers. What verticals do they typically operate in?
To be in the New York metro area, in the sense that there's obviously a lot of great businesses, a lot of big businesses, a lot of highly regulated businesses, which sort of helps us as a cyber company. And big financials, they're more tech than you would think. There's a lot of the jokes is a lot of the big banks, they have more developers in a Fortune 10 bank than Microsoft has. They spend a lot of time and energy on tech as a differentiator. So that space has been very good for us, but just selling in the New York metro area, you sell to a lot of global companies.
Right.
So fundamentally, we end up working with pharmaceuticals, with, global financials, but even with small hedge funds, those people. But I say we sort of sell local and deliver global. So I might wake up with engineers in Budapest or engineers in Singapore or jobs around the world. So I think we're trying to service our clients' needs, but we just sort of emanate from the New York space. And there's just a lot of great companies right here. There's manufacturing companies, there's retail companies. I mean, it's a great, it's a great place. And that's, it's very lucky for me as a technologist because I get to deal with all kinds of industries, right? I have like a hospital in the morning and a bank in the afternoon and all kinds of different things. So it's the same elephant with lots of different pieces that you look at, right?
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Especially in New York City, like you said, it really truly is the center of business of the country, if not the world. How are you investing in security this year? Is there anything you're doing differently or any technologies you're keeping a particularly close eye on to make sure that they're not causing an extended threat throughout the year?
If you're working with global banks, you're seeing people who are attacked almost on a nation state level, right? If we're working with these global banks on their structures and they're seeing what they're saying, they're very progressive and forward thinking about this space because they have been living under siege, for a decade or more, right? Of constant threats from very, very sophisticated attackers. Mm-hmm. And as that sort of kind of flowed downhill to the rest of my organizations, now hospitals are seeing that, all seeing that same sort of structure. So I think what we're seeing is this world where, I think the things I say to my customers is, we have to acknowledge that as individuals in this space, we need the right tribe, we need the right friends, right? So I think more and more outsourcing, some of my managed services are growing, all those things. A lot of the services we're selling are sort of, customers are rightfully asking for more value in the stack from the OEMs and from us because they can't cover that. If you've got a cybersecurity staff of 20 to 30 people, which is a lot for a lot of these companies, you really can't fight against sort of, adversaries that you're stacked up against, right? Run 24/7 SOC. So you need to have the right things, have the right sourcing models, the right the products that give you data, do those things. So I think that's, rather than look at it as a specific tech, I think that's part of it. I think the other thing that we're seeing a huge growth in is, you know, this is a board level issue. Like, everyone's watching this on 60 Minutes, new outages, saw yesterday, the pharmaceuticals. No one's coming after us trying to break the supply chain. They're just accidentally breaking it because they hacked this company and didn't even know that they were, you know what I mean? So I think we're seeing a lot of people say, okay, you know what, really just got to get better. We have to get better on certifications, regulatory issues. So more people are looking for SOC 2 certifications and that, so they can communicate. And I think that's, you know, this old school of like, well, you know, we've got a guy, you know, a cyber genius named Bob, and we trust Bob. And I'm like, well, that's, you can't go to the board and talk. I mean, that might be right or wrong, but the truth is, I need some kind of regulatory approval that I can go to my board, go to my insurance companies and do that. So I think it's a maturity, right? And it's sort of a, it's sort of a growth area, and it's bringing those pieces together, right? Of value add.
Poor Bob. I'm thinking about this one person that is aware of everything coming down on him. Right. He has an ulcer. Right. So Ken, as CTO, how close do you sit to the customer experience, and what's important to you that the customer comes away with from those initial meetings with Gotham?
The challenge for me in an initial meeting is really to get the customer to just start to talk about what they're seeing, how they're operating, what, you know, what their tool sets look like. So, I use the metaphor of sort of being like a doctor. And I think sometimes customer, in an effort to be, you know, commercially smart, will obfuscate their true points of pain because they're so used to salespeople coming in and say, well, what's not letting you sleep at night? All these games that we play to like find out. At the same time, if you want to walk into your doctor's office and say, I'm not going to tell you what hurts, you guess, you know, show me a PowerPoint showing the last 12 diseases that you came up with, and maybe I'll guess, you know, I'll pick which one of those I have. It's really not the right way to do a diagnostic. So I think, you know, we work very effectively in situations where the customers, you know, can sort of share that stuff. And frankly, we want to earn that trust too. I love it when I'm like, well, tell me what tools you have already, and maybe I can find some way to solve this problem with a tool you already own. And it's always this back up the bus problem. Like they'll come to you and say, we want to buy, you know, whatever, this thing. And I'm like, okay, but can we talk a little bit about why you want to buy it, what you already own, because I want to be responsible for making sure that whatever you buy brings value. Right, it actually does what you think it's going to do, and many times there is a gap there. And I think people have a tendency, I think, to overbuy products and underestimate the process and people it's going to take to make that all happen.
That is something I was wondering, of where you draw that line and when you step over it, the line between repair or adjust those processes or rip and replace. What does that conversation look like when you walk somebody back to say, actually, your technology is fine. Here's what you need to do.
Particularly now in a down economy, I think time to value is so critical, right? And so I think a lot of people don't want to rip and replace, don't want to make these moves, because embarking on a 36-month program and telling people in a down market that we're going to do this and it's not going to pay off for another, you know, 3 years, it's a really tough conversation to have in a space where budgets are already constrained. So I think you want to make the efforts to sort of do this, unless you can truly leapfrog forward some truly innovative and you're setting yourself for the next decade. It's a political problem, right? I always tell my guys, like, you know, hard on issues, soft on people. Like, you got to be careful because you're telling someone that their baby's ugly. So just, you know, let's find a way to, you know, manage this and you know, make small incremental gains, see if we can get them to the places they need to do, and show the client options. A lot of times by the time we're brought in, it's more of a, again, to use more medical metaphors, it's more of a triage, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, there's a real problem here. Like, the patient's bleeding. How do I fix the problems right now? How to create as much safety as I can in the next 30 days? And then what do I think about 90 days? What do I think about a year? So bring some operational, effectiveness to the problem and treat the patient, you know, now and soon and later.
How do you future-proof a customer's environment when they want new technology or want to update technology, knowing that they are considering what the economic future is going to look like, especially in a down year like we're seeing at the moment? How far ahead are you thinking, and can you plan that far out?
First of all, I think that the hallmark of good engineering, you know, or good versus great, a good engineering solution solves a problem. A great engineering solution solves a problem you didn't even know you were going to have 5-10 years from now, right? So it's sort of taking that engineering perspective on how do we build growth, agility. You know, we don't know everything. We can be agile, flexible, and able to scale and scope, right? So we look at the problem that way. To me, the optimal solution for a client sort of tells two stories, right? One is sort of that triage thing. Like, there's something that you really need right now that you absolutely have to have, whether it's regulatory, whether you've got an acknowledged risk, whether you have, there's a problem that I need to solve right now. Let's define that problem and let's really make sure we're solving it. But the thing that I'm doing should always have some form of cohesive platform strategy about what it's going to go on in 10 years. You know, so let's say, you know, there's, this happens in cyber a lot. There's like three guys in a garage in Tel Aviv who have solved this problem, right? Who've just got the greatest widget to solve the one problem you have. But if you do buy that, maybe that's not the best future story. So maybe we talk about, okay, well, is there a way to solve this problem with something that one of the big platform companies, their Palo or Checkpoint or, you know, Cisco, so somebody can solve this problem. And maybe that's a way of looking at it. Or maybe this thing's going to get rolled up into something else. So I think that's, to me, the most effective strategy is make sure we understand the problem, make sure we're solving for the problem today, but then to think about this, okay, but is there a platform story here? How does this product grow, move with me, change with me, meet future needs, fit into all of the rest of my instrumentation? Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to be just a little screen sitting in the corner of my sock 10 years from now, or is it going to be one of the things that really guides me?
I'd love to hear a success story, if you're able to share one with me, that happened maybe in the last year, 18 months, in which you were able to kind of come in and be the hero and take a customer from being in a challenging position all the way through to being in a really good known state.
We had a fairly large bank that was getting regulatory pressure, which is, you know, kind of real pressure. So a lot of people are struggling with these sort of extreme but plausible scenarios of, you know, what if the entire bank got hit by ransomware and everything, you know, and every server was down? In a situation like that, it's going to be weeks, if not possibly months, to get everything back online, right? Just logistics, right. The physics, the structure of that. Having the conversation, then what we were able to talk about was, well, look, there are some specific technologies that do a great job of immutable, guaranteed backups. And we could look, but also using sort of our application expertise and understand the banking applications expertise, like we don't have to change your whole backup. We can identify key critical systems, get the right kinds of backups for them, and basically develop a very agile sort of cloud recovery to manage that structure. And so we were able to come in, use some of those, you know, recovery technologies, immutable recovery technologies, identify the actual applications and what servers were required, what all the dependencies were, because again, we understand all that stuff, and basically create this structure, and the regulators love it.
Are there any vendors in particular or solutions that are really working well for you right now, whether that come from a support standpoint or just the fact that the technology is great or it's operating really well and your customers want it? Are there any vendors that you'd shout out at the moment?
Rubrik is that technology that we use for those immutable backups. Mm-hmm. Very strong, does terrific, you know, selling very well and very effective at this sort of ransomware resiliency thing. I think a lot of people have some solutions in the space, but there's a lot of ifs and buts and ands around them and asterisks. And Rubrik has the least number of ifs, buts, and ands and asterisks. So very effective on that space. I think there's a lot of good cloud technologies that I think are just great time to value in the sense that they do analysis, they tell you things right off the bat, they help you. So I would say like Wiz in the posture management space is doing very well for us. But a tech that I can put in, get immediate value from, and the customer is going to love. And when I call them 6 months later, they're like, oh, I still love that stuff. It's the best. It tells me things I don't know. I love it. So I think Rubrik and Wiz would be two, I think, that we're very effective with for very good reasons.
Being the CTO, there's a lot that you have to consider. How do you stay informed and how are you able to take in information every day to process it to see what's going to impact your business the most?
I don't think there's a magic way to do that. I think the most important thing for me is really staying close to the customers. I think you kind of said this before, like knowing what, you know, where their pain points are and what their structures are. Like a very common thing that happens to me is I'll be sitting listening to a startup, and they'll be telling me this whole thing that they do, and they do this, and they do that. I'm, you know, kind of yawning, so I'm like, everyone says this. And then they'll say just one little thing, and I'm like, whoa, what did you say? Like, well, we do this. And I'm like, okay, you're burying the lead. Like, that's the one thing nobody does that all the customers need. Like make that slide one. Like, what are you talking about here? If you can prove you do that one thing, like, that's the one thing I need. Their investors want them to build this giant story about total addressable market.
right.
which makes them have this giant, you know, lead that they're fixing. And I'm like, guys, I just show me one thing, one little thing you do that no one else can do that becomes that starting point. Show me your one thing you fix, and then tell me your platform story. But I need that one thing you do.
Is that something that vendors should take away from this, considering when they're doing that presentation or that initial meeting with you as a technologist, start with the thing that you do that nobody else does?
Really getting down to, you know, like this is particularly a down market. I say to everyone, like time to value. How fast is this going to show value in this organization and in what ways?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Like 30, 60, 90, like how fast?
One of the solutions that Gotham offers that I actually haven't seen before is staffing. And that just piqued my interest immediately. Can you tell me what that solution offering is?
A lot of our customers, you know, knew that obviously as a technology firm, we're growing, we're hiring great people, we're doing those things. But that one of their gaps is they don't have the right people on site. So providing the people into these solutions so they can be successful, I think, is a critical part of owning the solution.
Wow, yeah.
So if we're going to bring in, you know, the technologies, the stocks, whatever, we also have this great team of recruiters and staffing people who can help fill in the right people on site, whether it's temp or perm or whatever, to make sure that the whole thing's working. And then we can also, as technical people, vet the people. We know the culture. We know the stuff. So it's I think we do a better job, if we say that, on the staffing side, because we are able to make those fits, you know, interview the people with our technical staff, like making sure that they're valid, qualified, you know the tech really. So I think it's just another sort of piece of the puzzle that makes, you know, customer success happen.
I find it so interesting because we do have an ongoing shortage of IT professionals, especially it's exacerbated in spaces like cybersecurity too. So it's so interesting to see that you're also providing the people, which are a critical element of these overall IT environments.
Yeah, and I think it's why the managed services businesses has blown up so much, because I think people need the problem solved. And when you step back and you see it across the spectrum of potential solutions, like, well, we could do a managed service, or we could staff this for you, or we could maybe get you going. A lot of the things we do, we sort of set up, automate, and then pass to internal staffs for a lot of the engagements we're in. So I want to make sure that what we did really happens, and that, you know, 2-3 years from now, you still like it, because I want all the people that bought from me last year to buy from me again, and make sure that I have a continued success with the things I'm selling is the best way to make that happen.
Absolutely. So what are you keeping an eye on this year? And is there anything potentially trendy that you're investing in for Gotham?
We're launching a new managed service, just really covering sort of the asset management space. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like kind of mundane, but like nobody, as you move into regulatory certifications and structures, what are the big gaps we find? People just don't know what they have. They don't know how compliant they are. Their infrastructure is. It's a little basic blocking tackling, but it's not basic because no one's doing it right. As we sort of get our clients ready to be more certified, have these regulatory structures, like how can we help them quick step into that sort of maturity? So I think, you know, we're spending more time on those processes about, you know, practices around how to get people into certifications. We're spending more time on helping these asset management things, other tools to kind of patch manage those things to get people set up to be compliant and be structured. And I think doing those things as services is an investment we're making. We're bringing on, you know, those techs and those people in our SOC to do that. One of the very big concerns for us is the whole mess around Broadcom and Citrix and all of that stuff, and sort of the market negativity and sort of the profit taking that those orgs are doing, you know, which is that's fine, that's their strategy. But at the same time, like, I've got a bunch of customers that are shifting more heavily to cloud faster, making different changes, trying to adjust their business with those platform challenges. I know people have been kind of going cloud for a while now, but there's sort of a different economic problem driving that now, right? The cost models have shifted pretty considerably as those platforms have changed their models. And again, cloud's been expensive. So I think there's a lot of space in that's going to be a big change for this year. I think we should all be thinking about, since our clients are thinking about it. So I think that space is going to see some big growth. But yeah, I'd say regulatory certifications, the Broadcom problem, ransomware, those are going to be our big plays for this year.
Learn more about Gotham Technology Group at GothamTG.com. Thank you to my guest, Ken, for joining me today. And thank you for watching or listening. To check out more episodes of Channel Insider Partner POV, head on over to ChannelInsider.com or our YouTube page at ChannelInsider_news and trends. You can also listen in podcast form on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow wherever possible to never miss an episode. We put out a new video and podcast every week. And if you'd like to be on the show or you've got a question for me, email me at partnerpov@channelinsider.com. Once again, I'm Katie Bovoso, and I'll see you next time.